Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sis Internet Radio. Sisters in Spirit, affectionately called Sis, is a nurturing environment for women that inspires harmony in everyday living, shares resources that empower, offers information and support that nourishes the soul, balances our mental and physical well-being, and promotes inner peace and heightened spirituality. Our vision is a world where women live consciously, harmoniously, and spiritually to positively impact our lives and the lives of those with whom we come into contact. Join us as we live life with style, grace, and of course, much joy.
Good evening to everyone. I'm Darlene, and I'm here with my co-host, Sky. Sky, how are you this evening?
I'm awesome, Darlene. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Great.
We're down to the last financial literacy education program webinar. Yet, we're not done. We still have a entrepreneur's financial bootcamp plan for those who want to obtain financial empowerment through entrepreneurship. And since September, we've now taken all of you participants through five of our six steps to financial literacy. The first was mind over money and obtaining the right mindset to attract abundance, because subconsciously, many of us have blockages around obtaining abundance in different areas of our lives. We then went to relating careers and education to income so that we can ensure that we have the proper education aligned with our goals. Next, we talked about planning and managing money, how to set a budget, to track expenditures, and to stick to your plan. By doing this, you get to see where your money and energy are going. Next, we talked about managing credit and debt, because credit can be both a positive and a negative. We discussed avoiding the pitfalls of going into debt and using credit to your advantage. The last webinar topic was creating and building wealth, which is investing for your future. And we got into how investments for Gen X and Y may be different from that of their baby boomer parents. So once we've developed a nest egg, we need to take the final step to learn how to preserve it through thoughtful planning and investing, not just for ourselves, but we want to develop a legacy for generations to come. And yes, even young investors have to think about long-term wealth preservation to maximize their investment. And with us tonight to discuss managing risk and preserving wealth are five simple and successful financial tips to keep you from being broke is financial management accountant Sherelle Martin. Sherelle, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So yes, welcome, Sherelle.
Thank you very much for having me.
Before we get into our lecture tonight, I want to tell you a little bit more about Sherelle, and then she can add on with some additional details about herself, and we'll get into our topic and her wonderful acronym for BROKE, B-R-O-K-E. She'll tell you more about that. Sherelle is the owner and chief empowerment officer of Empower to Thrive. Her firm is a financial management boutique and business strategy practice in the Washington, D.C. metro area. Their mission is to empower business owners and entrepreneurs to thrive financially in life and business while gaining financial control and creating wealth and legacy. After working 15 years in public accounting, Sherelle decided to step out on faith and become an entrepreneur. She dabbled and dabbled in various direct sales and multi-level marketing organizations before deciding that that was not the route for her. She wanted to help aspiring entrepreneurs build their dream business, not someone else's dream. She believes that everyone should work in their true passion, whether as an entrepreneur or as an employee for another company. She believes that working in your true passion is the key to financial freedom and financial success. What separates Sherelle from other finance coaches and consultants is that she specializes in financial management. Her coaching style and systems are designed to help her clients gain control of their business finances and ultimately maintain that control. Because of this unique technique, clients are able to plan, organize, direct, and control the financial aspects of their business so that they can run an efficient business and achieve sustainable business success. Well, Sherelle, you've got quite a background there, and we appreciate your bringing your expertise to this financial leadership program for young women, and we dedicate this initiative to women who are between the ages of 16 and 24 primarily, although we know that we all can always use a refresher in financial literacy. So would you please tell us more about how you decided that the entrepreneurial track was for you and how you got started in Empower to Thrive?
Sure. As I was working in public accounting, I got to experience, I worked at a small firm, so I got to experience every aspect of a business, from the startup to some who actually didn't last in the end. And it just gave me this little burning desire, like, oh my gosh, I just so want to own my own business one day. But at the time, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do. I just knew that that was the path that I wanted to take. And so I got a couple of clients to do a little bookkeeping on the side, and just being able to do that and when I was operating my multi-level marketing business, it gave me that authority, and it just fueled that flame of being an entrepreneur. And so, you know, after 15 years, I decided, you know, I wanted to have more life balance, you know, because I have two little kids, and I was not getting a chance to see them grow because I was always at work. And so I decided to just take that leap of faith and jump out there. And it has been an amazing experience. And I'm just so excited on the path that I'm on and for the great things that are coming.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So a general question. Would you say that a lot of people work hard to accumulate wealth but don't take the necessary steps to preserve it?
Definitely. We all have the chance and the opportunity to obtain wealth. But it's a lot of bad habits that we use that prevents us from preserving it. I mean, it's presented to us in different ways, whether it's business related or personal related, where funds are left to us, or, you know, even people, when you see them on the news and they've come into a whole bunch of money, but we manage it so poorly. We're in this society where we just spend, that it keeps us from being able to preserve it and to be able to leave something behind for our, you know, to leave a legacy behind for those who are coming up behind us. And it's sad, you know, I feel like that no one was placed on earth to struggle and to not experience life to its fullest. And a lot of times we don't because of these financial pitfalls that we put ourselves in because we're just not practicing good money management skills.
Yes. So Sherelle has prepared a lesson plan for us, and it can be found at www.sisters-in, that's the word I-N, -spirit.net/FLEP, and that's F as in financial, L literacy, E education, P program, HTML. So that's www.sisters-in-spirit.net/FLEP. index, index/htm. So let's get into your acronym BROKE and your lesson plan for today.
Sure. So today what I had prepared was that I wanted to share with you five simple and successful financial tips that keep you from being broke. And these tips will help you better manage your risk and preserve your wealth regardless of where you are in your journey to financial success. It doesn't matter if you are at the beginning stages. You know, you mentioned that the ages 16 to 24, you could be at the beginning stage. You could be at the higher spectrum, or you can be someone even further past that. It doesn't really matter, but these five simple steps will help keep you from being broke. And let's face it, nobody likes being broke. That's just the fact of the matter, right? And that's why I picked this word in the title, because everyone can relate to it. And
mm-hmm.
broke,
and that's
it,
true.
And what I did, yeah, it is. And so what I did was I was like, what if BROKE could be an acronym? And, like, easily the words just came right to me for what these five tips could be. So risk management is the process of preparing a plan that where you can foresee the risk of something happening that's associated with an untimely event, and then you have to estimate the impact of it and allow yourself time to respond, come up with ways to respond, and actually implement those processes. To preserve wealth means to basically keep it alive, to protect it, to keep it, to maintain it, and retain it. And when it comes to finances, this is probably the hardest thing for people to do.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. There's always things going on around us, things that we desire to have or that we absolutely need. And these things cause us to not preserve our funds and create wealth, but we end up just spending it. And so there's nothing left to spend, and then we're left feeling broke. But broke doesn't have to be negative. It can
Darrell,
most
can you
definitely
clarify something for me, please, before we
sure.
go a little bit further? I'm thinking about, you know, the term that we're using, wealth. And are we talking about money that is accumulated to the point where you have a particular net worth, or are we talking about the money that you have in your bank from paycheck to paycheck? Are we talking about savings? When we refer to wealth, what are we speaking of?
I think in my opinion, we're referring to savings. So and
okay.
it really depends on where you are in your financial space.
Mm-hmm.
But I think of it as savings and then money that you can utilize at any point in time for whatever, but so that you're not feeling financial distress because of all the things that are going on around us. It can
okay.
mean paycheck to paycheck for some people. It could mean very well having a whole plethora of money just sitting around to use and that you're trying to manage. But for me, I think, it, especially starting out young, that the basic foundation of it is to learn how to manage it and begin to save it. So the acronym, no problem. The letters that BROKE stands for are budget, and you need to have one, rate your risk, take advantage of opportunities to save, gain adequate knowledge, and be efficient and practice excellence at all times when it comes to your funds. So those are what the letters stand for. We're going to start with the B for budgeting. And in two words, create one. You know, it's my opinion that budgeting is a part of the foundation that needs to be laid, as I mentioned before. Everybody needs to have some sort of budgeting skills in their personal life and in their business life. So many times people think it's just all about having a business, but it really can be used in your personal life as well. It is a necessary evil. No matter what, it has to be done. And nobody really wants to do it. People dread it, like it's like some kind of disease or something. But the fact of the matter is that you must perform budgeting tasks regularly and consistently in order to grow and manage your finances and wealth. Now, in order to grow your bottom line, you have to start with a plan. And when I say grow your bottom line, it can be a business expense, you know, from a business perspective, and it can be your bottom line, as in your bottom line from your net check, whatever the situation, it can go either way. But a budget is simply just a planning process. A lot of people think it's so complicated. By definition, it's a formal financial plan for a future period. And its purpose is to create a forecast of revenue and expenses for a certain time frame, and then develop models on how things will play out based on different strategies and hypothetical scenarios. Now, that's real technical, but in plain and simple terms, it's a schedule that shows you how much money you make and bring in and how much money you're going to spend and go out the door. That's it in a nutshell. And budgeting is so important because it helps you keep control of your cash flow and it holds you accountable. I keep a budget myself. I've kept a budget, oh, wow, I don't even remember when I started keeping it. I created this schedule out of necessity because at one point I had a bad spending habit. I was just out of school, and I was just spending left and right. And I moved out of my parents' house, and then the real world kicked in. And I created this spreadsheet where I took what my check was every pay period, and I deducted every expense that needed to be paid based on when they were due. And even to this day, I still keep that exact same schedule. And that was over 15 years ago that I created it. It hasn't even changed because it keeps me accountable for what needs to be done and what needs to be paid without me just free-willing and spending it on, you know, because I saw some new shoes or because I saw a new shirt. It holds me accountable to every single thing. It keeps my bank account in the green and not in the red because I'm always aware of what's going on and how every dollar is supposed to be spent, and that's how it should be. So I don't have any more frivolous spending at all. And, like, I always use an example of an event. Like, if you're planning a big event, a party or something like that. That's the only time people really think about budgeting sometimes, I think. You know, you write down how much you're going to spend and what you want to get, the food, the balloons, tablecloths, decorations, and whatnot. And then you look at how much money you want to spend. And then you figure out, you know, if it's really doable. It's the same concept for your living expenses. It's the same concept for your business. It really doesn't matter what venue or what event is going on, what is going on. It's the same process. I like this quote that I read from William Feather, and it says, a budget tells you what you can't afford, but it doesn't keep you from buying it. And that's so true if you think about it. It's just, it just makes complete sense. So, and like I said, spending is always the problem. It's always the problem. I did a survey recently where I asked a lot of people, you know, what is it about budgeting that you don't like? What frustrates you? And the consensus from majority of the people was that they had to actually create one. And so I asked my husband the same question, and I was like, you know, how do you feel about it? What frustrates you about it? And he said the same thing. And I was like, well, it has to be more to it than that, because creating a budget to me, and maybe it's just me, is very, very simple. And he said, you're right. But it's the fact that it's not that you have to create one. It's the fact that you have to create it to be prepared for what's unexpected, you know, and it just made complete sense. Because without one, you put yourself at a risk that you won't be able to handle.
Well, Sherelle, can I ask you this? How many responses did you get that people said the discipline aspect is the biggest problem? Because I can create budgets. I create, you know, little simple budgets and things like that, and I'm a big party planner, so I definitely do it for the party thing. But personally, it is just, to me, it's the restriction and the discipline. And it's like, it's, you know, all those things you were saying earlier, but it's from a discipline aspect.
That was probably the number two reason is having to actually keep it. And it's hard. It takes a lot of work. I didn't do so good those first couple months, maybe even longer than that. It took me a while to really get the discipline of being able to actually follow it. Now, every now and then I slip. I'm only human. Every now and then a pair of shoes just entice me just enough to go outside of the budget. But it takes a lot of practice, and it takes a lot of discipline. It really does. And I think that before you create a budget, you have to have a plan or a goal in mind. You know, creating one for your day-to-day expenses is one thing, but when you're trying to get to a new level, when you're trying to preserve wealth and grow your wealth, you need to have a goal in mind. What are you trying to achieve? What are you planning for? If you're a business owner, are you trying to just increase your bottom line by a certain percent every year? Or if you're planning an event, are you just trying to generate a profit of X amount of dollars at the end of the whole thing? Or are you just simply trying to save, say, 3 to 6 months worth of expenses so that you can have emergency savings funds? You have to have a goal in mind of what you're trying to achieve. And no matter what that reason is, you always begin at the same starting point, which is that goal. Once you set that goal, then the budget process is easy. I actually have created it. I could develop a system that you can create a budget in just 3 steps, a 1-2-3-step process. You list all your expenses by month. You list all your income by month. And then you track everything. You determine what your bottom line is by month, and then you track everything. And that's it. And you have to maintain it every quarter. Take the time out to make sure that how things are going, how things are processing is exactly how you plan, because you may have to make some adjustments and tweaks depending on what's going on, whether it's major events or it could be anything that can alter and adversely affect, you know, the budget that you created. So that's the B. The R stands for rating your risk. When I say rate your risk, I mean determine how likely it is for something, for some event or major to occur, and what the cause of that event could be that could totally cause everything to be in an uproar. This process can help you determine, you know, what actions you need to take. And I think one of the handouts that I gave talks about the risk. In order for you to do this process, you have to ask yourself a series of questions that guide you towards what the correct action is for you to take. And there's a lot of things, a lot of factors, or even for better, or better yet, it's a lot of known threats that you have to consider. I mean, it could be things like interest rates rising or falling, how well the market is doing. These are all things that can play into the risk of how you're trying to grow your money. You got to be aware of what's going on around you to know whether or not your money is in a safe place, if it's growing or if you're just going to lose all of it at the end of the day. So one of the handouts that I gave out is a list that I created of some of the key questions that can be answered. I call this rating your risk is like a phase, and it's one of the phases in your risk management process. And those questions are questions that you can go over at any time regarding any financial situation or even a non-financial situation. They help you cover various factors that should be identified when you're assessing your risk, things such as the probability or the chances of something happen, what kind of impact it's going to have, if you have a contingency plan, and the exposure that you get from it. That's probably the biggest thing with assessing risk is how much exposure will you be at? How much risk of you just being open to any and everything that could possibly happen and the negative and adverse effects of it. The O stands for opportunity to save. This tip is gets more into the preserving of the wealth. Savings is a big, big part of that. And, you know, you always hear people say, pay yourself first. Pay your tithes and then pay yourself first. And then pay everybody else. But people just do not do it. And I don't know why. We start out with good intentions. We have a plan. You know, instead of paying ourselves first, we'll say, oh, I'm going to pay these bills first, and then I'm going to save extra $100 or extra $50. But at the end, something always happens, and the savings becomes the thing that's not so important to do. And it's sad because it's the thing that we need the most. The only way to build wealth and preserve it is to consistently set money aside in some account where it can work for you and grow. And I always recommend that it's an account that you do not have instant access to. It is not tied to anybody's bank card. You do not have checks. You have to make a phone call to get that money and maybe even go through a process of a questionnaire, because when you have access to it, you tend to spend it more easily just because you know it's there. You know what I mean? So some quick tips that I have for saving were start early. You can never say that enough. The earlier you start, the more money you'll have, period. There's no way around it. Keep it simple. Start with something as simple as a savings account. If stocks and investments are not your thing, do not try and jump into that space. Let somebody else do it. Wait until you've done some homework, you found a reputable financial institution that you want to keep your money with, and let the financial planner or the investment manager handle all your transactions for you after you've, you know, expressed to them what your goal is, of course. Don't chase trends. Stick to your guns and plan that you set for your growth. Just because Chrissy down the street is doing something different that's working for her does not mean you need to change your entire portfolio. Her plan is her plan, and your plan is yours. Make your savings automatic. If you have a job, have your savings automatically deposited into a different account, one that you, again, do not have immediate access to. You don't have a bank card. You don't have checks. You have to actually go to that institution to get money out of it. Because if you don't have immediate access to it, you're more than likely not to touch it. And sometimes you even forget about it. I had I worked with a coworker once, and she put $100 in an account every pay period, and we got paid twice a month. And she had, I think it was an air conditioner or something major in her house went wrong. And it just so happened, she was like, oh, I have this $2,000 sitting over here that we could use. But they were able to get it fixed without even having to touch it, which is a great thing. But she had forgot all about the account because she didn't have a bank card and she didn't have checks for it. So she didn't access it. And I guess she didn't open her statement regularly either. And another tip is to stay away from credit cards, especially for the young ladies who are listening. If you're going to college or already in college, even if you're graduating soon, stay away from the credit cards. They are nothing but the devil. If you have them already, come up with a plan to pay them off right away, and then start with the card with the highest interest rate first, to pay that one off first. But stay away from them. My parents told me that, and I did not listen. And the first few years when I got out of school was a mess because all I had was credit card debt and student loans. And, you know, student loans, they ain't going nowhere. You need those. But them credit cards, stay away from them. Oh, I can't stress that enough.
I went through that with my son when he went to college, and I started preparing him before he got there because at that time that was the trend, seriously marketing to college students. And I would sit down and have these conversations with him, and he actually saw it at work because one of his classmates had an older brother that was at a university in Virginia. And they actually would go down to some of the basketball games, and in the back of the gym during the games were tables of people from the card companies trying to sign up students at that time during the game. And so he would come back and talk to me about it. So I really tried to work with him to make sure that he didn't graduate with credit card debt. And we were fortunate that he didn't. He never did. And even to this day, he's not a person with a credit card. So that's something that's really important. Today, more students graduate with, I think the last thing I heard was the average, which was shocking to me, was $10,000 worth of credit card debt. And is that true, Sherelle?
I'm not sure. I have to look that up, but I would not be surprised at all. And I don't know if they can market to them like they used to, because when I was in school, they were, like you said, they were at the games. They were in the student union, two and three of them. They even had kiosks or kiosk-type setups at malls, at the closest shopping mall to the college.
Wow.
It was like a whole, and I don't think they are allowed to do that anymore. I do think the law is changed because it was ridiculous. And the way they do it is that they offer you a free gift. You get a free T-shirt, a free pen, you know, all kinds of little gadgets, notepads, and, you know, a college student, you want whatever you can get for free.
Yeah.
And I had every T-shirt from every credit card company. It was just a mess. It was a mess. And I so wish I had paid attention and listened to my parents when I did. So I am telling everyone who is listening, stay away. I feel like credit cards are, like, totally killing not just students, but just adults, business owners. It's just, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Stay away. The K stands for knowledge. In order to actually grow, manage, and preserve your wealth, you have to be prepared for anything to stay ahead. And the only way you can do that is to educate yourself. Educate yourself on as much financial information as you can. And these webinars and these calls like this are perfect. And, you know, you can find out information about anything, budgeting, accounting, investments, whatever you can that's financial related. Get knowledge. Get the knowledge yourself, especially before you let someone else handle your money and your finances, because you want to make sure that you understand what it is that they're talking about and that they're not talking over top of you, especially when they're handling your money, because they could be doing anything with it. You know, more and more, it seems like things keep coming up on the news about poor money management from a professional, someone who has taken oaths to be ethical about your finances. And so you have to make sure that you understand what is going on and how they're handling your money. And I think this is probably the most important tip, because you can never have enough knowledge. You really can't. And like I said, financial literacy programs, they're more and more coming up, and I've seen a lot more coming up that are targeting young adults. So that's a good thing. And you can take courses, you can take workshops, programs, you know, anything credit and your risks, your budgets, investments, life insurance, you name it. You can find out about it without having to necessarily take college courses. There's tons of workshops out there. So, just get the knowledge. And remember that knowledge is what allows us to advance. So without it, you're kind of stagnant. You don't really know what's going on. You can't help your money grow. You won't know how to preserve it. So educate yourself is the biggest tip, I think, out of all these. And the last tip is the E, which stands for efficiency and excellence. It's pretty simple and straight to the point. You know, as you manage your funds, you have to be efficient and practice excellence at all times. And I equate that to just being a good steward over your finances. You know, ensure, and as you're being a good steward, if you are being a good steward, you're going to follow all the other tips that I've already said. You're going to save. You're going to have budgets. You know, you're going to assess the risks that are out there. You're going to have ample knowledge about what's going on with your finances. Just being a good steward covers all of that. And one of the things is that I always tell my business clients, you know, to help them develop process systems, about financial process systems in their business, so they can manage and grow their funds in their companies. And I think you can very well use something similar in your personal life as well, because a good system will ensure that the income that comes in and the income is coming in and that bills are getting paid as they go out the door. And it'll ensure that you have money set aside for savings that'll grow. So I think that those steps, those processes can be used across the board. And it's also a good time to implement into that process the updates of your budgets, as I mentioned before, you know, minimally at a quarter, so that you can see what's really going on with your finances. So just to recap, we had to keep you from being broke, you need to have a budget so that you can be hold yourself accountable and know where your money, where you plan to spend your money. Assess your risks, rate your risks so that you are aware of the opportunities for things that could occur that could stunt the growth of your wealth. Take advantage of opportunities to save. Start early. Stay away from credit card debt. I cannot say that enough. Get adequate knowledge so that you can understand everything that's going on around you and understand how it all affects your wealth and how it will grow. And be efficient and practice excellence over your funds at all times. Be responsible. It's the best, it's the only way you can actually implement these things and actually really achieve wealth is if you are being a good steward over all of your funds.
Mm-hmm. And that really makes sense. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Sherelle. But that, you know, it, the bottom line is to be a good steward and to watch and manage what you're doing, whether it's in personal life or in your professional life, your business life, in terms of your finances.
And Sherelle, would you tell us more about the risk management spreadsheet that you've prepared for participants?
Sure. That schedule is I created is a it's like a questionnaire. It can be used whether you are looking at your personal finances or if you're looking at it, you can actually tweak some of the words and turn it into, you know, use it to assess the risks on any major event that is going on in your life. But it's a questionnaire, and it makes you look deep and inward into and see, you know, what is your ultimate goal? That's the first question on it, so that you know what you're working towards and setting up a timeline and making sure everything is, you know, incongruent with what your goal is and what are the benefits of it, and then you get into the risk. What is the risk of not meeting that goal? What effect could that have on your goal? It's more or less designed for a major, something really major and big occurring, something where you're trying to, you know, really save up for a major purchase or, you know, it could be saving up for a house. It could be saving up for a college. It could be saving up for grad school. It could be saving up, you know, to open up the doors for your new business. But you have to be able to answer these questions and know what the possible risks are so that you can figure out if those risks occur, how am I going to get around it? What is plan B? How am I going to – can I avoid these risks or – do I just need to make some changes? They're going to happen regardless, and I just need to be prepared for how to handle it. It's just a quick questionnaire on those. And then the other worksheet was some budgeting templates that I have created. I've created a whole, I'm like a template queen. I have all kinds of templates. And so I created a checklist and some simple templates that you can use to create a budget for yourself to follow. Like I said, I use this same budget, especially the last page of the budget template. I've used that one for years to help me keep account of how I'm managing my personal funds, and it has made me a much more responsible person at the end of the day because, like I said, I was just all over the place as a fresh out of college person. I was just everywhere, and this spreadsheet helped me manage my funds and be responsible and be a good steward of them.
Well, these are some the spreadsheets are really easy to understand and to navigate. So, I encourage everyone to go to if you go to the Sisters in Spirit homepage, you'll see a link to the financial literacy page, and just scroll down there, and you'll see links to the actual documents. The budget documents are very self-explanatory, and they're easy to read, and they do keep you on task. And also the risk management, what struck me with that, and what really area where I would use that is like managing my 401k plan. Just like you said, Sherelle, you can take that and apply it to any major activity or financial activity that you're having, and you can apply that particular management form to it, and it really does, you know, help you think about that. And that's what stuck out in my mind was the 401k plan that I'm looking at and thinking about revamping. So any major financial situation you might be in, you could apply the risk management tool to.
Yes, definitely. Definitely 401ks, any annuities, life insurance proceeds that you may receive from as a beneficiary, any of those things. Because if you don't sit and if you just, especially with the 401ks and annuities, if you just let your money sit, and as we get older, some of us older people, we need to start looking at how it's structured and if it's going to get us to that retirement age. And that's why I say with the young folks to start early, because the earlier you start, the so much better off you'll be in the end. So much better off.
Well, Sherelle, would you tell us about what you've got going on with your business and any events that you may have coming up near term?
Sure. So Empowered to Thrive, as you said in my bio, is we focus on financial management and business consulting. And what we do is we offer virtual accounting and bookkeeping and financial services to small business owners, as well as we have a business development division that focuses on aspiring entrepreneurs, helping them establish their business. One of the things in my tag is that I empower you to thrive financially in life and in business, and I help small business owners create, build, and maintain. So the create and the building are on the business development side, and then the maintaining it is on the financial side. We provide services all over the United States. Doesn't really matter where you are, and that's the whole great thing about the virtual world is that it's everything is in the cloud, as they say. So that's what we do. I have a couple events coming up, actually. I have a business development course that starts the second week of July, and it's for the person who wants to start their business and they have no idea where to begin. They don't know what to do about anything. And so it's an 8-week course, and it starts the second week in July, and the enrollment for it actually ends on Sunday. And then on July 13th is the Business Finance Boot Camp that you all are sponsoring, Financial Basics that Every Small Business Owner Should Know. And this is a workshop setting. It's hands-on, so you're going to come and you're going to do a little bit of work. And I'm going to go over basically some accounting and financial basics is how we'll start it off, and then talk about what financial statements mean. I always call it a financial report card, what it means and what it tells you about your business as a business owner. And then there's a piece at the end of that regarding budgeting from a business owner's perspective, and they're actually going to walk away with a 12-month budget they can put into their business from July going forward. Over the next 12 months, we're going to create a budget that they can actually use and follow. And hopefully we can follow up with them in a few months and see how they're doing.
Yes, we're really excited about the Business Financial Boot Camp. And when you were talking about the acronym BROKE, what really stuck out in my mind regarding that was the K and to be knowledgeable. And when you talked about how even though you might have an accountant, and this is the reference that I made to it, as a business person, a small business person, you might have an accountant that's working with your business finances, but you should still know what's going on. You know, you should still know how to release statements and what they mean, because you should never turn over total control of your business to another person, because, you know, I mean, they might be great, and then again, they may not be, but you should still have the knowledge, and that's empowering you to have the knowledge to know what's going on, even though someone else is handling it for you. So we're really excited about the boot camp, which is going to take place, as Sherelle said, on July 13th here in Washington, D.C. at 1816 12th Street, Northwest DC, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And if you visit the Sisters in Spirit website, you will see a link to the registration page. And we're just really excited that Sherelle is going to be with us to share her expertise during the boot camp. And Sherelle, please, I just got excited when you started talking about the boot camp. But continue to let us know what's going on with you and your business.
Sure, I'm excited about the boot camp too. I think it's going to be a really good experience, and I think that the participants are going to walk away with feeling really good about what the knowledge that they've gained. And you're absolutely right. Every small business owner should know what's going on in their business financially, and they should not leave it up to an accountant or a bookkeeper to understand, and then they just don't know what's going on. Like, that's how these things are popping up on the news about people swindling money and taking money, and because the business owner isn't knowledgeable enough to know the warning signs and what to see, and they don't know, you know. So I think that's really, really good, and I'm excited about that as well. Those two events are the two major things that's going on in my business right now. Pretty much I'm just focusing on a lot of my bookkeeping clients right now, getting them up to speed, getting their books straight, helping them do projections for third and fourth quarter. First and second quarter are done and over pretty much after tomorrow. So helping them, you know, reassess their budgets and see if they're on track to what their goal they set at the beginning of the year for the next two quarters. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy helping small business owners build their business and help them grow their business and understand the numbers. And that's the whole thing about the Thrive in the name of my business. The thriving is all about the financials, but the empowerment is helping them understand and see the importance of knowing what they're supposed to know as a business owner. So many businesses pop up all over the place, and people don't know what they're doing because they didn't take the time to learn and understand. They were just anxious to just jump out there and do it. And that's the whole empower part, is that to be able to instill that knowledge into others so that they are not a statistic and that they are not failing in less than 5 years because of people just don't know what they don't know. You just don't know what you don't know, you know. And so I really enjoy doing this. It has been a great experience, and I'm just so excited about all the things to come.
So you do the accounting piece. Do you also do taxes?
I do not do taxes. I have developed partnership with other tax professionals to do that. I've done taxes in the past. It was it was a strategic move on my part. I didn't have the passion for that. And so I didn't want to dabble into something that I just wasn't passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Understood. There are others who are more blessed, and that is something that they serve the world with, so we let them do it.
Yeah.
Sherelle, can you let our listeners know how to contact you?
Sure. My website is www.empower2thrive.com. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is Empower to Thrive. You can catch me on Facebook. It's also Empower to Thrive. You can get me on LinkedIn using my name, Sherelle T. Martin, or you can simply shoot me an email at info@empowertothrive.com.
Sherelle, you mentioned you worked with all types of small businesses and entrepreneurs. Is there a specialty that you serve, a specific business type?
So I've worked with, like you said, all kinds. I've worked with real estate investors. I've worked with wholesale distributors. I've worked with franchises and franchisees. But I tend to gravitate more towards the construction industry. Not sure what that's about, but one of the firms I worked at for about 8 years, and that was our primary, that was the target clients that we serviced, and so I gained a lot of knowledge in that space, and Londa, if you can do accounting for contractors, you can do accounting for anybody, because that is the most complex form of accounting. And so I tend to, I don't know what it is or why, but I just tend to gravitate more towards the construction industry clients. So I won't say yet that that's my niche, but it's the majority of the client base that I serve.
Well, construction is building, so, you know, it's growing and building and making things happen.
Yes, it helps the economy.
Well, awesome. We are just so happy to have you with us this evening. And, again, we want to let our listeners know that Shawelle will be with us during our business financial boot camp for small business owners. We're going to talk about finance basics that every small business person should know, every small business owner should know. And it's going to be a four-hour intensive workshop, hands-on. And as Shawelle mentioned earlier, you're going to walk away with a 12-month budget along with other knowledge as to how to financially manage your business in a successful way, you know, because at least four out of the top 10 reasons that small businesses fail is directly related to finances, you know, and it's something that we really need to get a handle on in order to manage, to grow, and to survive out here in a very, very competitive environment. And it's about empowering yourself, you know, to be financially savvy, even though you may have an accountant come in. Understand what the accountant is doing and just not let them blindly take control of your finances. Be a good steward over your business and your personal finances.
Also, you have the opportunity to go back and listen to the other five webinars. They're archived on our talk radio site, blogtalkradio.com/sis-in-spirit. So it takes you all the way from starting with the right mindset to accumulate and attract money to managing and preserving that money that you have built up. And we also know that wealth is not just finances. Wealth is anything that adds value to our lives. So that's also your health, your relationships. So as you think about wealth and abundance, think about that in a full perspective for your entire life.
That's true, in a holistic manner.
Correct. And you can also go to our site at www.fluidmagazine.com and leave comments for Shawelle. And Shawelle, we'll ask you to take a look there to see if you see any comments, and please respond to the CIS audience.
Great.
What's that link again? I'm sorry.
www.fluidmagazine.com. And also at Fluid Magazine, you'll find great articles on other topics in addition to finance. We've got an article currently on organic, on a budget, organic ways to get rid of those summer pests. And then we have green energy, how to live green, articles on health, wealth, and well-being. So check out our site. I think that you'll enjoy Fluid Magazine. It helps you get into the fluid flow of life.
And as we start to wind down, Shawelle, would you give us your contact information again? And then we'll just flow right on into our ending quotes.
Sure. My website is www.empower2thrive.com. You can reach me by email at info@empowertothrive.com, and I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and under empowertothrive.com, and I'm also on YouTube as well.
Okay, so would you bless us with your closing thoughts and a quote, Shawelle?
Sure. This quote is by Robert Kiyosaki. And he says, money is one form of power, but what is more powerful is financial education. And I think that says it in a complete nutshell.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
Sky?
Okay, I'd like to share this, and I don't have the originator, so I'll say anonymous, but it says, if you've got a dollar and you spend 29 cents on a loaf of bread, you got 71 cents left. But if you've got 17 grand and you spend 29 cents on a loaf of bread, you still got 17 grand. There's a math lesson for you.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm just simply going to say, do what you love and the money will follow. And that's for our youth as you get into the working world. Go for the type of work that you love.
Mm-hmm.
So going to work is not even going to work. You know, you're going to play and enjoy yourself. And when you do that, the time flies by and the money is attracted to you because you're doing a service that is there for the world, not just for yourself. You're serving others as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Sky, anything that you want to add before we close out?
No, I think we've covered everything, and just to invite everybody to definitely check out the Business Financial Boot Camp. It's going to be exciting, a learning opportunity. The registration fees are just really available. They're low, and they've been purposely set low so that all small businesses would be able to afford to attend. And it's not for profit, so we are just really offering a community service. We always hold activities to support and uplift and empower small businesses, and this is just one more. Visit our website, www.sisters-in-spirit.net, for additional information, or email us or give us a call, and just get there, register, and hear more from Sherelle T. Martin.
And we'd like to thank the American Association of University Workers for providing us with a grant that helps make the cost of this seminar, the Financial Boot Camp, so low.
Yes.
So thank you all for joining the webinar. As I mentioned, you can tune into the archives and listen to this program from start to finish. We hope that it was a benefit to all. And we look forward to seeing those in the D.C. area.
Yes, we do. And thank you again, Sherelle, for being with us this evening and sharing your expertise and your empowering spirit with us.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
Okay, thank you, and good night.
Night.
You've been listening to This Internet Radio. Until the next time, enjoy the fluid flow of life by remembering to infuse harmony into your everyday living.